Live from downtown Lansing, it's time for the Griffin Grins Show. Ready to deliver a daily TKO. That's right, a TKO of talk, knowledge, and opinion.
Welcome to the team, 92.1 FM. This is the Griffin Grins Show. Without Griffin Grins today, they are both out. So this is your weekly third wheel, Mike Sadler. I'm joined by Travis Jackson. Travis and I have a little bit of radio history together, so I'm glad to have him on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I think we're going to go, instead of Griffin Grins, we're going to go thick and thins today.
Thick and thins. I like it. So everybody knows that Michigan State is currently playing Georgia right now. We are up 16-14 with about 8 minutes left in the game. If you're listening to the radio, then you're probably in the car. I can't imagine that anybody's going to be listening to us instead of watching the game if you have a choice. So we're going to try to keep you guys up to date on the game as much as possible. We're also going to be joined at halftime by Mike Griffith. It wouldn't be the Griffin Grins Show without at least one of them here. So he's going to join us in about 15 minutes come halftime.
Yeah, I mean, the tournament started 6 games yesterday, decided by 1 point. I think I read it was the most watched Thursday first round of college basketball ever. So, I mean, this has been exciting. This is a great time. The weather's turning, got the tournament going. So, you know, it couldn't be a better time right now.
How about all the upsets yesterday? Did you fill out a bracket?
You know what? I did. You know, I kind of got away from it. The past 5 years, but, you know.
Because it was illegal for us?
Yeah, worst case scenario, actually, my girlfriend talked me into it, and somehow she beats me every time. She, like, picks off colors and, and the weather that she likes there, and you know, there's nothing worse than losing to your girlfriend, and it happens a lot for me.
Yeah, I could believe that, but I think a lot of people are struggling with the brackets, too. I'm reading right now from the NCAA. Only 273 out of the 11.57 million brackets made it into the second day intact.
It's been madness.
It's been madness. Yes.
Something else. That's something else. So that is 0.0024%. So, yeah, I don't think anybody's going to be making money off of these brackets, but we had 5 games decided by a single point, the most in the first day of NCAA tournament history. Texas schools were 0-5. Baylor, trouble closing out games in any sport, it seems. 2-14 seeds advanced to the round of 32 for the first time since 1995. They call it March Madness for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, the Georgia State game, Baylor was up 7 with 1:30 left, and during the regular season, that's a done deal, and, you know, that's what the tournament, that's what the madness is all about, and I was watching that game, and I had Georgia State in that one, so I was going nuts, you know. I think that's the great thing about it is, you know, people relate to the upsets, and they relate to the teams like Georgia State who just get in, and talking about it being a 68-team tournament, I mean, that's just crazy to think about. You know, it's definitely from playing football where it's a 4-team tournament. It's just so exciting, and it just makes for, you know, a great sport and a great event.
Yeah, and I got to ask you guys, which one of these upsets surprised you the most? I know that Iowa State one really, really killed my bracket. I had them in the final, so.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that had them going to the Final Four are actually winning it. So that one probably ruined a lot of brackets. Yeah, UAB surprised. I think that's definitely up there. I wish that Harvard would have beat North Carolina. I think everybody in the country would have liked that one.
Great one.
But, yeah, everybody likes to see the underdog win, especially come March. But do you think anybody can beat Kentucky this tournament?
I mean, that's tough. You know, being undefeated, going undefeated, it's something else. But they've been so dominant all year. And, I mean, you watch them play basketball. They play a fun team brand of basketball. But, you know, the madness is about. And I got Wisconsin winning it because, you know, I'm a Big Ten guy. And I like Frank Kaminsky a lot, and watching that Big Ten championship game, Michigan State kind of dominated the whole game, and they found a way to get it done, and I think that's huge in the tournament. If you can find a way to get it done and close out games, that's a big part of this tournament.
Big part, and Wisconsin has all that experience that teams like Kentucky don't have, and I think that's maybe the only knock they can really have on this Kentucky team. They're so young. They haven't been through this before, so, you know, if they were going to fall apart at any point in the year, it's probably going to be now, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Going to be interesting to see what happens. I think we're lucky that we don't have to face them anytime soon in this tournament. I think we actually got a pretty good draw in our bracket here.
What's that score looking like right now? I wish I could see. I can't watch the game. So
19-14, we are up over SEC powerhouse Georgia. So we got a good bracket. If we win this game and Virginia wins, and we're going to play them in the second round on the 22nd of March, that would be a good game. That would be a good game. And then if we can keep winning, we're either going to face 1-seed Villanova or 3-seed Oklahoma, who we had a good game in with the tournament last year. Oklahoma and Virginia, two teams that we know that we can beat. So we just have to keep winning, survive in advance.
Yeah, you know, I think the one thing that I love about Michigan State basketball getting into the tournament is you got Tom Izzo on your side, and that's a big-time thing. You know, it's never really a pretty game, I think, and when you see these games start to get messy, that's when I like Michigan State because he breeds toughness. I remember earlier in the year they had lost to, I think, Texas Southern, which was a big upset, and I think Tom Izzo kind of just grinded his guys on the ground, and as we got in later and later in the season, you see these guys, you know, get tougher and tougher, and I think that has a huge thing to do with the coach.
Absolutely. Great coaches have their teams playing their best when it matters. And a lot can be said with Mark D'Antonio in that regard. Always very good in November, four bowl games in a row. Always playing our best at the end of the year. And Tom Izzo has done that for years and years and years, 18 straight tournament appearances. It's impressive. It's impressive, especially considering the fact that this team might not have the talent that past teams have had, but they still find a way to win games.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing. I think it's something that, you know, Mark Hollis has done a good job as bringing coaches that are a lot alike. And one of the cool things about going to Michigan State is that all the sports coaches are so close. I mean, you see the pictures of Coach D and Coach Izzo, the numerous memes on Twitter of those guys. But you also got Coach Anastas, who's close with the program, and Susie Merchant and the girls basketball team. You know, all those coaches are so close and they communicate, and you know, it's kind of one big Spartan family. So I think, like, all the players, all the teams, you know, they're kind of preaching the same thing, and I think that goes a long way for a university. I think that's why Michigan State is having so much success in all the sports.
And we know Izzo's a big football guy. Now, did he ever come in, give you guys talks before games, any kind of speeches or anything that most basketball coaches you wouldn't expect to give to a football team?
I don't think that he's come in before games before. Let me know if I'm wrong, but he always comes in during fall camp, and you know, in the dog days of August. He always makes an appearance, and so does President Simon. And they, you know, they talk to the team for 10, 15 minutes, watch practice, and it's always a highlight of our day to see them come, and just because they have so many better things that they could be doing other than watching 120, 18-year-old guys sweat out there in the heat. But they come, and they support us, and it means the world to us. We always see the basketball guys, both teams, men and women's, on the sidelines before football games. They use us to bring in recruits, and we use them to bring in recruits. We're always at the basketball games hosting recruits. The players, the coaches, the parents are all there. And just to have that atmosphere, that really means a lot. That really means a lot. I think people commit to MSU not for the weather, obviously, not for the incredibly cool uniforms, but because of the family atmosphere. And everybody has a role in that. And hopefully we can keep that going into the future.
Yeah, that's definitely a highlight. And there's something about Tom Izzo's raspy voice coming into practice in the dog days of August, you know, that keeps you going a little bit. And he's so passionate. And, you know, just knowing that you got the support from such a storied coach like that, from a program, our basketball team supports our football program, our football program loves our basketball program, and likewise for the rest of the sports. And, you know, it's a really special time to be a Spartan. And I mean, there's probably not a lot of universities around the country that are having so much success all across the board in sports.
I tell you, I think one of the weirdest things about Coach Izzo coming in to talk to us is that that's probably the only time in the year where he will talk for 10 minutes straight without yelling at anybody. It's weird. It's weird to see because he's so fired up in the games and, you know, just demands a lot out of his players. And then to see him come in and talk to us and be down to earth and calm, it's bizarre.
Yeah, you know, he actually does one of those real smiles and not one of those, you know, crazy angry smiles when one of his players turns the ball over. So, I mean, you know, he's so animated. His expressions, everything. Yeah, it's just great to have that support and from such a great guy and such a passionate coach.
And he does get a little bit of that bad rep for always being up in your face and being so high energy, but he cares about his players. I don't know if anybody saw this in the news this morning, but Alex Gonna traveled with the team to watch them in this tournament. Now, Alex was going to be a senior this year, left the team after he and his girlfriend gave birth to a baby, and chose to, you know, raise the baby, chose the path of fatherhood over sports. From what I've heard from Izzo and everybody, he was just kind of down with life. You know, it's hard. It's hard when you leave sports and have a structured schedule and then have to get out into the real world. So Coach Izzo called him up and said, Al, do you want to, you know, make the trip down here with us and, you know, be with your class? And he said, yeah. So he was down there. He's out there cheering on the team right now. Just shows that he cares about his players.
Yeah, I know. It's so special. And another guy who left is Russell Bird, playing out at the Masters College in California. And Tom Izzo actually scheduled a game with them for him to come back. And, you know, he got to kiss the center court, kind of his own senior day type of thing. And once again, that just shows the family atmosphere and how special it is to be a Spartan.
Yeah, and it can just be so easy to be bitter in those kind of situations when a player is just leaving, transferring from your program. And he always takes a different route and has a lot of respect for the guys that leave and always welcomes them back. And that's pretty awesome, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome. Everybody knows that they always have a home at Michigan State once they've come here. Do you think football players should kiss a Spartan head before we leave?
You know,
in the stadium, of course.
Yeah. I don't want to get my lips dirty on that dirt, but, you know, it's just kind of, it's a different thing. And I think what people realize, you know, different sports do different things. And I think another thing that Coach Izzo and Coach D do is they let their teams and their individual players take their own personality. I feel there's so many dictator type coaches in sports today where it's their way or the highway. But I think the coaches that are the great coaches that read their team and let them take on their own personality. So, you know, we've been through different things where walkthroughs on Fridays are dead silent. And, you know, we can't do anything because that's just what our team, like our team is just very focused. And there's other times where those walkthroughs are just rowdy. Everyone's hoot and holler and we're playing games and, you know, and our team performs well after that walkthrough and, you know, both different styles. So I've learned so much from being a part of a Coach D program and seeing Coach Izzo and being around him.
Yeah, with those walkthroughs, you never know what you're going to get until the coach walks out to the field. You never know. He dictates everything. He does. And sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's not so fun, but different situations call for different emotions. And there's times where we need to be focused, there's times where we need to be loose. And I think both these coaches do a great job of making sure that their players are ready to play and understanding that there's not just one formula that you need to follow to make that happen.
Yeah, and, you know, and Coach D does a great job of reading that. And, you know, sometimes you might have a bad day and, you know, gets reflected back onto us, but overall, I've just learned so much from him being such a great role model to us.
Absolutely. So in this basketball game now, we are up 24-18 with about 5 minutes left in the first half. You can catch the game on True TV. I don't think they're playing their best basketball right now, but so far it's been enough to stay on top.
Yeah, I think emotions are high in these games, you know, playing in big games. You come out in the first couple minutes, maybe the whole first half, and you're not playing your game because you're just so ready to go. The emotions are high. You're taking shots that you don't usually want to take or for football we're not performing or executing. So execution's huge, and in these tournament games when emotions are running high, especially the first one, crazy things happen, and you know that's kind of why they call it March Madness.
Absolutely. I'm kind of surprised that Georgia's hanging in with us. I didn't think that there were any good basketball teams in the SEC other than Kentucky. Well, I didn't know that they even had other sports other than football down there.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia's a really good team. They give Kentucky their two biggest runs, and you look back on that, it's going to be a tough battle. I think they got a couple big guys down low who are pretty dominant. So, you know, and we got those role players like Matt Costello, Gavin Schilling, you know, who have to have big games in these tournaments if we want to succeed. And I know those guys, and I think they will. They're going to step up to the plate.
Absolutely. I think the matchup with Virginia on Sunday? Sunday, yeah, Sunday. That would be fun to watch. That would be a physical, almost football on the hardwood. I think that'd be a fun game.
Yeah, you know, Virginia's really passionate about their basketball. I actually trained with a linebacker who's going into the draft, Max Valles, and, you know, he's a football player, but he said basketball there is number one, and they go to all their games, and they're just so excited about their basketball program. So, and they're very salty about the way they got kicked out by us last year. So I think there's going to be a lot to that game.
Absolutely. When we come back, we're going to have Mike Griffith on with us for a little bit. I guess we'll get him on his own show here. Stay with us. We'll be back in a little bit. 92.1 FM, The Team.
Klein Tire is family-owned and operated for more than 50 years. Klein carries every major brand, Goodyear, Michelin, BF Goodrich, and Hankook, while specializing in American-made Cooper tires. Klein Tire is located at 1223 North Cedar, that's between Mason and Holt. Call 517-699-2372 to set up an alignment and get your car taken care of for winter. Mention this ad and Klein Tire will give you a free alignment with the purchase of four tires.
The workplace keeps changing, and successful companies recognize and embrace change through choice, adaptability, and innovation. DBI offers affordable furniture solutions for countless workspace options that will enhance the performance of your people and organization. DBI helps customers reach their workplace goals, from improving worker effectiveness and innovation to brand expression. DBI is your office furniture partner. Learn more at DBIYes.com.
This is Phil Tripp from Tripp's Auto Shop and Collision Centers. If you've had an accident with your vehicle, negotiating with the insurance company is not something you do every day. It can be confusing or even intimidating. At Tripp's Auto Shop and Collision Centers, we can help. We work with all insurance companies, but we work for you. We'll get your vehicle repaired properly and back on the road as quick as possible, and we'll cover up to $500 of your insurance deductible or a rental car. Tripp's Auto Shop and Collision Centers. With the right repair, is no accident.
At the LaFerrette team, we spend more time actually listening to what the buyer is telling us as well as what they're not telling us.
Kim LaFerrette with Coldwell Banker Hubble Briarwood on the personal nature of the buying process.
So we ask very interesting questions. What they might say, why does that matter? I can't tell you how many times that someone looks for a three-bedroom ranch and they end up buying a five-bedroom two-story.
Call Kim LaFerrette at 517-706-2555 or visit KimLaFerrette.com.
The real estate process is actually learning together.
We are back. 92.1 FM, The Team. Griffin Grin Show. Except thick, without Griffin Grins.
Thick and Thins.
The Thick and Thin
with
Show.
With the Z, too. With the Z. It's pretty edgy.
Mike Sadler here with Travis Jackson. We're going to keep talking about March Madness for a little bit. We're going to get Mike Griffith on the line here at halftime, coming up in about 2.5 minutes on the basketball clocks. That means about 15 minutes in real life. Then we are going to transition into talking about football. A little bit of MSU football, some pro day action coming at you. Travis and I just participated this last Wednesday at Michigan State's pro day, and we will let you know how it went, what we did, what we didn't do. Have a little bit of football talk there during the second half of the game. When we finish up with the game, we are going to have former Spartan basketball great Drew Neitzel join us on the show, hopefully, and kind of get his take on the game and some inside information on March Madness itself.
Yeah, I can kind of give you a little bit about how I feel about Drew Neitzel. I actually grew up an Ohio State Buckeye fan, so Drew Neitzel was that guy that kind of killed us.
He was the Aaron Kraft.
Yeah, he was the Aaron Kraft.
And the guy that everybody loves to hate for no reason.
So I was so happy when I became a Spartan to be able to be a Spartan basketball fan. So, man, I'm all green now.
Drew was a great one. Also, for those listening and not watching the game right now, feel free to call in at any point during the show, offer your thoughts, opinions, hate mail. We want it all. 485-7925. That is 485 7925. We would love to hear from you. Answer any questions that you guys might have. We think we're kind of fun sometimes.
I think the only potential callers right now are our moms.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. So,
yeah.
Mom, call in, please.
Yeah. I don't know if the station gets all the way to Grand Rapids or Columbus, though. So, probably not even our moms.
Yeah, I think it's just us now. And, you know, huge shout out to Alex back there. He's got like three different computer screens back there just working it.
Oh, I'm seeing five. He's got some that you can't see, too. He's, yeah, yep. So Travis and I found out that we were doing this Wednesday. I probably let Travis know like last night. So this is our first time actually being in a world-class studio. And it's kind of difficult to know when to do commercial breaks. I've started the show about five times when I shouldn't have already. We're figuring it out. So bear with us through this. I can't promise it'll be smooth, but it will be entertaining.
Yeah, sweet child of mine, I know we're going to commercial, so.
Well, there's going to be something. We always have to have at least one Kid Rock song at some point in
here. It's like a Mike Griffith law.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we'll introduce him to that. Okay, so with this basketball game, Travis Trice just dunked, which I didn't even know that he could. Because he's about my size. That makes me feel really unathletic. Spartans up 10, 32-22 against the Bulldogs of Georgia. Just over a minute left in the first half. Things looking good right now.
Yeah, they're just continuing their, you know, as of late play. You know, they played great in the tournament. And, you know, they're just really controlling the game right now. And it's super fun to watch. And it feels like it's just Coach Izzo's kind of basketball. It's Spartan basketball. So, you know, he got them in there scrapping away and making the big shots and getting it down low. So they're doing a little bit of everything right now. It's fun to watch.
And it's crazy, though, because to the typical fan, the outsider that's not affiliated with the program, it doesn't look to me like they're playing their best basketball right now. And they're still up 10 points against a good Georgia team. I thought if they could keep playing the way they did for the first 35 minutes against Wisconsin in that Big Ten title game, it'd be tough for any team to touch them.
Yeah, you know, it's really fun to watch because there's been a lot of haters, you know, doubters for this team, and they're kind of proving everyone wrong. And I have them going deep in my bracket, and it's hard not to, especially knowing these guys and knowing the program.
Your typical trademark chip on the shoulder for the Spartans. I have up here on my computer in front of me some 68 fascinating facts about the 68 NCAA tournament teams. Let's go through
these.
One
fact for each team.
Yep, they got one fact for each team. So, because everybody here loves March Madness so much, and we are obsessed, and it is just part of our culture as Americans, let's point out some of the interesting ones. University of Virginia, possible second round opponent. Well, third round technically, but second round to anybody that's sane. Virginia offers a course in Game of Thrones.
What?
They offer a actual class in Game of Thrones. What do you do?
I wonder what they talk about.
Probably Game of Thrones. BYU, the NCAA tournament has to work the schedule around BYU because they're not allowed to play on Sundays.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. Yeah. There's a cornerstone. We can never, when I played for Davenport for baseball, we could never play corner. Usually we played on Saturday, Sunday, weekend games, and we'd always have to play Friday, Saturday with them because they weren't allowed to have any athletics on Sundays.
Huh. So is that a school
yeah, it was
law?
School rule, yeah, because they're like a really like Catholic school. So
athletes that go to those schools can still play on Sundays once they leave the school?
Yeah, like I mean, yeah.
Because BYU players in the NFL, how does that work?
Yeah. Like, it's not like they can't do anything by themselves or anything like that. Just they can't schedule games on Sundays.
Interesting. Xavier, one of only 120 words in the dictionary to begin with X. That's really not fun at all. Let's see. What else here? Duke star freshman Jahlil Okafor. By the time he was born, Coach K had already won two titles, been to five national championship games, and coached in seven Final Fours.
Yeah, talk about another great coach. It's fun to watch that guy coach his team.
Yeah, I don't know if that should make Coach K feel old or just show that 18-year-olds can really be the stars of a billion-dollar industry. Kind of scary. Texas Southern, a team that everybody in Lansing probably hates, the toughest non-conference schedule in the country.
Yeah, I mean, we got to see them play, and they're a good team, so.
Yes, they are. Maryland, it says the Terps left the ACC for the Big Ten last year. Thank you.
Really interesting.
Really?
Really interesting.
Oh,
good stuff, Mike. Good stuff.
Okay, so for, we were just on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Thad Matta downs two cups of Starbucks, cowboy style, before every game.
What's cowboy style?
I don't know, but I'm about to find out what cowboy style means.
Alex, do you know what cowboy style means?
I think he just lost his gum on the floor. That was a video that they showed me.
I have no idea what that means.
Well, you guys want to go to Ohio State, learn to drink your coffee cowboy style. I think maybe I'm going to walk into Starbucks and just ask for a cowboy style coffee.
Does he like ride a horse while he drinks his coffee?
I don't know, but speaking of riding horses, Wyoming, the Cowboys are one of 21 teams to have won the national championship before. Would never have thought that Wyoming would have a national championship basketball team under their belt. Interesting. Interesting stuff.
I can't find this cowboy thing. It's going to bother me.
That's going to be the question for the rest of the day. What is cowboy style when it comes to drinking coffee? And why does Thad Matta do it?
I don't know. I bet my girlfriend would know, or we could find some girl on campus that would probably know what downing Starbucks cowboy style means.
Maybe it's just one of those superstitions before games. Well, I keep scrolling through here. What kind of superstitions did you have before you played, and what were some of the weirdest ones you've ever heard of?
Superstitions? Oh, man. You know, I kind of stopped that because I realized that there's nothing that was going to make me play better than me going out there and trying to play better. But, you know, I've seen a lot of guys do different things, same socks, same underwear, kind of gross things like that. I think all I think about when I think about superstitions is the movie Major League and Joe Boo and sacrificing the chicken, the bucket of chicken.
The bucket of chicken. One of the things that we need to watch out for if we win a lot of games in this tournament, it's probably going to be a couch being burned somewhere. Now, we in no way condone couch burning. We don't support it. It's not good for our school, bad for the image. Do not burn couches. With that being said, it's probably going to happen anyway. So to put this in perspective, we might burn a couch or two a year, but in West Virginia, in the past 15 years, over 2,432 street and dumpster fires have been set in Morgantown.
Yeah, you know, dumpster firing in Morgantown's a big thing. It's kind of a new fad catching on.
Fire.
Everyone's doing it.
So everything is relative, people. Everything is relative. Maybe we can spare a couch or two, but Virginia, maybe they have nothing else to do out there. I don't know.
It's just hide your couches when Michigan State wins the championship.
The thing is, I would have killed to have a couch in my dorm room freshman year. Not a futon, but an actual couch.
Yeah, you know, those dorm rooms are kind of tight quarters for all the freshmen, so, you know, you got to learn to live that kind of tough life at first.
Awesome. Well, we are about to cut to break. When we come back, Mike Griffith on the Griffin Grin Show. Crazy stuff, right? Stay tuned. The Team 92.1 FM. We'll be right back. We're back, and the transition is never smooth. The music's playing for at least 10 seconds longer than it should be, or I'm chirping in 10 seconds before I should be. But we are back, and we are about to get Mike Griffith on the line to talk a little Spartan basketball. He's at home right now, live blogging the game. We want to get his take on everything. So hopefully we can get Mike on the line here pretty soon and figure out his thoughts, his bold predictions for March Madness.
Yeah, we've dealt with Mike, you know, all through being football players. And
dealt with him like it's a bad thing.
Doing the interviews. You know, it's a hassle sometimes being an offensive lineman. You know, all the media you get, it's just so hard. People taking pictures and you know, it's hard to always look really good at 300 pounds. So,
Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, you know, we haven't been kicked out of the studio yet, so I think we're doing something right.
Well, you know, I just heard Travis say it's hard to look good at 300 pounds, but I think the yes dance, it left the mark. I think he looked pretty good. I think that's the memory when we think of Travis Jackson. I think it kind of ignited Michigan State from that point on, all the fans and the players. I mean, there was always the yes chant dance to look forward to. Travis, when did you get that idea? I always wondered about that.
Yeah, you know, I got that idea after a Monday night Bible study. We were watching Monday Night Raw, and I'd kind of been doing some celebrations through camp early in games, and no one sees an offensive lineman, so you can't really get flagged. And I think the refs already feel bad enough for you that, you know, they see you celebrating, oh, we'll let it go. So I actually got that, and I saw it, and, you know, Connor Cook just kind of crossed the line, and I saw that he got in, but the refs didn't know yet, so they were running in. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going for this one, and I started doing it, and the ref actually came up to me and was like, please stop, and I was like, and I stopped for a second, and then I was like, nah, there's no way he's going to flag a fat guy.
No, that's
well, I thought
right.
that too, but I got flagged as a punter. Anything's possible. Well, anything's possible.
Wasn't yours a late hit, Sadler?
Yeah, but who throws that on a punter? You don't do that. Just one of those unwritten rules.
There was a lot more attention to Mike, though, because he had that Heisman run last year. So
got snubbed. Snubbed toys.
I thought it was the sexy in 17 thing that got Sadler all the notoriety.
Well, we know high school girls everywhere are really into Mike Sadler.
Oh, please. High school girls don't read 17. That's for, I don't know, elementary school. They can't go there. No. And they probably have those laying around Chuck E. Cheese. But, Mike, we want to get your take on the first half of this basketball game.
Wow. Well, you know, just like in football, when you never know who you're going to have to count on, when you look at, for example, all year long it was Tony Lippett, but in the Baylor game, it's Keith Mumphrey that came through with a 50-some-yard catch and that to start the rally and end it with a touchdown catch. Keith, a steady guy, but a guy we didn't think – We didn't think going into the Cotton Bowl he was going to be the one, but ultimately offensively, you know, it's Keith Mumphrey. We talk a lot about Shalique Calhoun, but it's Marcus Rush. You know, it's always those other guys that seem to make a difference. And today, guys, Brandon Dawson went out of the game at about the 14:23 mark, and Michigan State was down 11-5. And off the bench comes this true freshman, Marvin Clark. A guy that at the start of the year, he'd go in the games and all of his beat guys would just look at each other because we knew Clark was going to force some shots, Izzo was going to pull him and chew his butt, and you just shake your head and say, when is that Marvin Clark going to learn that he can't do it? Well, you know, Marvin Clark never did learn. He stayed confident. He got better on defense to please Izzo. And when he's had opportunities to shine, he's stepped up. And today, he came in the game at that 14:23 mark with MSU down 11-5, and the Spartans were a different team the rest of the half. So, you know, these are the types of things that happen when you build depth and when your team has good chemistry. And it's happened for the football team, as I've covered the last 3 years. And I'm seeing it happen for the basketball team in the postseason right now.
Well, that's great. Now, Travis and I did not have prolific basketball careers at any point in our life. But watching this game, we think that Michigan State isn't playing their best basketball right now. They could still be playing better, but they're still holding on to about a 10-point lead against a good Georgia team. What do they need to do to stay in this game to keep this lead and build it?
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, you guys know. I mean, you didn't play your best ball at Purdue. I mean, the last 2 years, the Boilermakers outplayed you and you ended up with wins. It's not always about playing your best ball. It's about the scoreboard, and that's what makes for a great coach and a great team. When you can win games when your best players aren't playing well. Hell, I mean, Connor Cook, he didn't look like a first-rounder against Baylor for three quarters. Connor will tell you, that was a terrible performance. That was as bad as he'd been all year. But other people kept Michigan State in that football game. And Connor answered the bell in the fourth quarter. And what's happened here today is we've just talked about, you're right, you know, Michigan State isn't playing its best basketball. However, it's playing well enough to be leading a Georgia team that, let's face it, comes from the SEC conference. Guys, I was down there 20 years. It's not known for basketball, okay? Georgia is not a basketball school. It never has been, and it never will be. This is a great year for Georgia. They're 21-11. They can brag that they were tied with Kentucky with 3 minutes left a couple weeks ago, actually led the Wildcats by 9 with 10 minutes left in Athens. But not a great program. And honestly, once that rotation changed for Michigan State, it's almost as if, and this Mark Fox guy, their coach, he's outstanding. He's really good. Really good coach. He can throw a lot of different junk at you, prepare for you, and he was ready for Brandon Dawson. But the mistake he made was maybe being too ready. He got Brandon Dawson out of the game with two fouls, and he doesn't seem to have an answer for Marvin Clark. It's changed things up, almost kind of like what Iowa must have been feeling like a couple years ago when they scout you after the Notre Dame game, and all of a sudden Michigan State's throwing vertical routes. And Kirk Ferentz has got to be going, what the hell is this? Since when does Connor Cook throw the ball 30 yards downfield? And, you know, Coach D changed it up. It was a different Michigan State football team. Well, with Marvin Clark on the floor, it's a different Michigan State basketball team. He's got a three-point shot. He's a stretch four. He can space things out. And with him in the game, the lanes opened up a little bit more, and a guy like Travis Trice can exploit. Now has 11 points and 4 rebounds at the half.
Well, it's certainly been fun to watch him in this first half. Now, let's step back a little bit and look at this tournament as a whole. The first day was crazy. Upsets everywhere, 12 over 5, just an absolutely crazy day. Less than 1/100th of a percentage of people still have perfect brackets. What upset surprised you the most in this first day?
Well, the 2-14 seeds, you know, losing. And, Mike, I heard you at the top of the show. You're right. Boy, Baylor, just they can't seem to win at anything in the last few minutes. The only thing, they didn't have a 400-pound guy dunk or anything, but they blew, what, a 7-point lead, as Travis was saying at the start. It's good work by you guys to be ready on top of that. That was probably and Iowa State's loss. You know, you got 2-14 seeds going out in the first round. I think I saw a graphic. That's the first time that's happened since 1995. So, yeah, I mean, that's a shocker to me. And I think there'll be more. I think there'll be more upsets. You know, I think what we've seen so far, the Big 12, I know a lot of my sports writer friends had been celebrating the Big 12 as the best basketball conference this year. You know, it's almost like a couple people say it, so people just start to repeat it over and over. I know you guys know what that's like living in this state and hearing about the Wolverines all the time. Whether there's any validity or not, if enough people say it and say it over and over, people start to believe it. And I think people were believing that the Big 12 was the best basketball conference. And, you know, Baylor and Iowa State have been sent home. So now we'll have to see what Oklahoma does. Texas has also been sent home from the Big 12. So to me, that's kind of the broader story. You wonder how suspect Kansas is. I believe they'll run into Wichita State or Indiana in the second round. So that'll be all she wrote for the Big 12. We'll see what Kansas can do and Oklahoma can do moving forward. And as far as the Big 10 goes, you know, Purdue lost a tough game to Cincinnati in overtime, a game the Boilers probably should have won. The Ohio State, not a favorite of either of you, I know, but they went ahead and knocked off Virginia Commonwealth and Shaka Smart, a guy that probably should have taken another job when he had the chance. Trying to think what other Big Ten teams have played. Michigan, no, they're not in the NCAA tournament.
Well, they're not in any tournament.
They're not in any tournament. Wisconsin hasn't played yet.
Maryland plays Valpo.
My brackets are sitting pretty good, guys.
No, they're not.
They really are. I'm at the top. Oh, really? Go to the griffingrins.com. You can see the standings. All the people entered, except you two knuckleheads probably didn't. You guys probably had some homework to do or something. I'm guessing you were probably too busy finishing up some academics or something. But
I had a paper. I did have a paper.
See? So if you go to griffingrins.com, all of the hosts and sports writers and people that are supposed to know what they're talking about that really don't, okay, so you can see the results. I think we got like 130 people. I think I'm in the top 10. So
I am looking at it right now, and Griff is in sixth place out of the 150. So,
you know? So
yeah, I guess.
Insider trading. Right. There's something wrong with that. But out of all the Big Ten teams.
Let's see what he called.
Yeah. Is he allowed to change his brackets in his own pool?
Yeah, I was telling Travis, I always fill mine out after the first day.
He's got the codes in the site. Yeah. He switched around picks.
Out of all these Big Ten teams in the tournament, who, besides from Wisconsin, do you think could make a deep run?
Man, I hate to sound like Dick Vitale here, but, you know, the winner of that Michigan State-Virginia game, I think will go to the Final Four. I did two brackets. I did not in the GriffinGrins.com challenge, okay? There's only one in the GriffinGrins.com challenge. I got bracket integrity there. But, like, in some other ones that I'm in, like with friends and stuff, I did two brackets. I did one with Kentucky winning, and that's kind of like the logical one. And then there's, like, the gut one, you know, where you go with, you know, your gut feeling and who you want to see win. So I've got one with Virginia and one with Michigan State. To me, that's the split. And the reason I want Michigan State to win is because I'll travel next weekend to Syracuse and to the Final Four if they win. So when you're a sports writer, you know, no offense, guys, but I always root for me. So I'm really glad that you took me to Pasadena a couple years ago. I enjoyed the trip to Dallas, although I can tell you this now, I would have preferred Miami. I'm not sure you would have preferred playing Georgia Tech, but I would have preferred a week and a half in Miami. But Dallas turned out to be okay.
But now you want a spring weekend in Syracuse?
Well, it's basketball. It's a Carrier Dome. I haven't been to the Carrier Dome since 1998 when I watched Tennessee launch their national championship football season by beating Donovan McNabb and the Syracuse Orangemen in a fantastic ESPN Instant Classic.
That's a while ago.
For
Michigan State to make this run, though, they need to get through, obviously this Georgia team right now is playing them tough, but then Virginia on Sunday. Now, Virginia's a team that we've played a couple times before, last year in the tournament. What do they have to do to get by this Virginia team?
Well, like you say, they got to finish off Georgia first, which, you know, let's just say that they do. Let's just talk hypothetically.
That's
here.
All March play. Is. March is right. Entirely hypothetical.
Okay, hypothetically. You know, they're playing the pack line defense. Virginia's big. They're physical. They've got the revenge factor working for them. You're right. MSU eliminated them in the Sweet 16 last year, 61-59. Madison Square Garden. They're going to have to shoot the ball well from the perimeter. They're going to have to shoot because, you know, Brandon Dawson is absolutely a freak, but he's 6'6", and he's one man. And Virginia is better and bigger in the interior, and they defend better, and they don't make mistakes, and they don't send you to the free throw line. So to win in the next game, they're going to need Denzel, Bryn Forbes, and Travis Trice to light it up from three. They're going to have to force tempo, and it's going to take a performance like you saw against Wisconsin. It's going to take that sort of performance to beat them if that's who they end up playing. It's possible. It may not be probable, but I'll be honest. Like I said, I've Michigan State, this run that the school is on right now is historical of proportions. You guys aren't supposed to be that good in football, okay? We're supposed to see this, but I've seen some unlikely things happen at Michigan State. I saw a team come from 21 down in the fourth quarter to beat Baylor. That's not supposed to happen. You weren't supposed to beat Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game and go to the Rose. That wasn't supposed to happen either. So it's possible. It just may not be probable.
Well, it's March. Stranger things have happened, and this is Izzo's month. So we'll see what happens. Mike, thanks for joining your own show.
Well, I've got one more question here. Now, I heard Travis Jackson doing a mock interview with Connor Cook at a media day. And he was asking a lot of the same questions that I asked Connor Cook. Now, Travis, I'm calling you out. I think you were mocking me and making fun of me for all these questions I asked Connor Cook about how great he is. Now, do I got you on that, or was that just a coincidence?
It kind of dates back to my childhood. It was my Chris Farley impression. The Saturday Night Live skit.
How does that make you feel?
Where he's nervous and he does it, and he asks the question with the answer, and then he just ends with, "That was awesome."
So now you're comparing my reporting skills to a Chris Farley skit?
Yeah, it's comical.
So. You guys look a little bit alike too.
Griff, we love talking to you. We really do. But as you know, we're coming up on that
up against that break,
and we're pushing it.
All right, guys, keep up the good work.
All right,
thanks, Griff.
Well, are we cutting to break now? We are cutting to break now. See how bad I am at this? But hey, we're having fun. We're having fun, and I might need to mute Travis for the next segment. But Stay with us. We'll be back. We're going to take some of your calls and talk some football. Stay with us.
The winter chill is in the air, but it's warm at Grand Traverse Pie Company. Go on in and enjoy a break from the cold at one of their area pie shops. They're always ready to serve some warmth for the winter, like a pot pie. That's the number one most popular item, the chicken pot pie, and they have beef too, and they come in 6 and 9 inch sizes. Creamy, savory, comfort food loaded with meats and veggies and their homemade flaky crust. Their delicious pot pies are a favorite for family meals and office gatherings too. It's warm and tasty, and you won't be able to resist it. Quiche, too. Mouthwatering flavors each day. Wonderful combination of eggs, milk, cream with savory flavors, all baked in their handmade flaky pie crust. Quiche, a unique option. You can bring that to any gathering. So they hope to see you soon. Stay a while and join them for a meal or plan to take one of their meals home to enjoy. The people in your life will thank you. For a location near you, go to gtpie.com. Once again, gtpie.com, where they're waiting for you with quiche, pot pie, and of course, their delicious cherry pies.
If you're a small business owner handling your own payroll, Simplified Tax and Accounting can help. We've supported the greater Lansing business community for over 65 years. Simplified offers the same services as the national chains. We're on top of the latest tax regulations and requirements, and you can speak directly to one of our licensed CPAs if you have questions. Stop by any of our 7 locations, including our new and expanded office in South Lansing, or call us at 882-2441 to learn how Simplified can help you. That's 882-2441, or choose Simplified at choosesimplified.com.
Thinking of a new air conditioning unit for your home? Hi, Peggy Doty with Doty Mechanical. A new Carrier high-efficiency AC unit will lower your energy usage and increase your home comfort. Current Carrier cool cash offers and available utility rebates mean your savings have never been better.
Call Doty Mechanical today at 327-7777 or visit us at dotymechanical.com for your free estimate. For heating and cooling, the names to know, Doty Mechanical and Carrier, turn to the experts.